God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for tonight's message comes from our epistle reading from the letter of Hebrews, chapter 4, 14 through 16, and chapter 5, 7 through 9. In this section of Hebrews, the author here is writing to us that we have a Messiah who suffers. Now, if you have seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ, by Mel Gibson, you definitely see a Messiah, the Christ, who suffers. A lot of blood, a lot of pain, a lot of agony. And as the author of the Hebrews reminds us, especially in verse 16 of chapter 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The author of the Hebrews reminds us that Jesus suffered and died on the cross. And since He suffered and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, as the title of this message begs, why do you suffer needlessly? This may sound kind of strange, especially in a community of Christians, but this question needs to be asked. Why do you suffer needlessly? The problem we have as Christians, well, let me just first of all ask, how many of you have ever thought for a moment, because of some particular sin, that there would be no forgiveness, that you were destined to eternal death and damnation? I know it sounds kind of strange, especially on this Good Friday when we behold Jesus, our Savior, being crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. But how often does our mind try to play tricks on us? Trying to say, well, that sin is just a little bit different. And the answer is, there is no difference. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross, He dies for the sins of the whole entire world. All sins. Not just some, but all of them. But how many times in our own lives do we suffer needlessly because of some sin that is haunting us? Do we not realize, as we come and we celebrate this night, that Christ died? And not just died, He suffered. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer. Again, why do we suffer needlessly? There's another aspect of suffering, needlessly suffering also, that I need to bring up. How many times do we take offense and when someone does something that we perceive against us? And when we take offense, how fast do we let that offense go? Basically what I'm talking about, the forgiveness of other people. We may know and understand and appreciate the forgiveness of sins, as we confessed earlier in our liturgy, I, a poor, miserable sinner, and we receive that forgiveness. But how often do we let that forgiveness of sins go to other people? If someone does something wrong against us, do we not sometimes enjoy making them suffer? Again, why do we allow this suffering to go on and to continue? Didn't Jesus die on the cross for their sins also? It sounds kind of strange for me to be preaching this kind of sermon to Christians. In one essence, as we like to inflict pain upon, or like to see pain inflicted upon other people, you could say that we are more sadistic. When we like to see receive that pain, you might say we're more masochistic. Sounds kind of strange for Christians who are supposed to love one another. Where does this pain come from? Where does all this sorrow and suffering dwell? It doesn't dwell in Christ. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. He takes away the pain, the punishment. He is the one who suffers. Why then do we suffer needlessly, or why then do we cause suffering within other people? Again, let's go back to verse 16 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why does the author of the Hebrew write these words? First of all, for that first aspect, for the forgiveness of our own sins. And yes, that does mean all our sins. Those skeletons in the closet, guess what? Get cleaned out when Jesus dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. So now we can approach the throne of grace. No longer do we have to worry about hell holding us captive. No longer do our sins hold us captive. Now we can approach that throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a God who says, I will take on the weight and the burden of the sin of this world. That's a God who says, I will take away the pain and the suffering. I will bear it. Again, why then are you suffering needlessly? The last line of our text in chapter 5, verse 9. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. We have to remember, yes, Jesus Christ did die on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. But we need to believe. We need to trust in it. And the devil will come into your life and say, wait a minute, you can have forgiveness for all those little sins, but when it comes to the real big one, no, 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 you got to pay for that yourself. And that's where those skeletons come from. That's where that haunting feeling comes in. And we have to say, wait a minute. The source of our eternal salvation is not from my suffering. The source of my eternal salvation is from His suffering. Again, likewise, as we now try to share that love and share that forgiveness of sins, especially to those that wrong us, in our opinion, who do something wrong against us, what happens when we want to withhold that forgiveness and we want to make them suffer and cause them pain? Does that solve anything? How does that point people to the cross of Jesus Christ? If I just got through saying that, yes, He died on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, but those who believe in Him, those who trust in that forgiveness of sins, have it. What do you do with those people who then don't trust that forgiveness of sins, who don't have it? Unfortunately, the gates of hell are in existence. There is a place called hell. So why would you want to withhold your forgiveness, especially for those quote-unquote heathens in the world who don't understand Christ's love and forgiveness? Why would you not want not to share that love and forgiveness? Why would you delight in withholding that forgiveness? Why would you want to see them needlessly suffer? Suffering was done through Jesus Christ. There is no other. We need to stop the suffering. Stop causing other people to suffer. Remind ourselves our sins are forgiven. Share that faith, that same love, and that forgiveness. God does not delight in people going to hell. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Just as you have been forgiven, your suffering has been ended through the blood of Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection. Why would you want to withhold that same good news to those around you? But our sinful nature kicks up again and says, I want them to pay. I want them to suffer. Where is that coming from? There's only one who suffers. There's only one who pays that price. You are not the one. Jesus the Christ is the one. So on this night, we remember that, yes, it is Jesus, the Christ, who bears the weight of the pain and suffering of the sins of the whole world. Be forgiven. Be free of that pain and suffering. And also, likewise, don't inflict that pain and suffering upon other people. Is this easy to do? Again, the answer is no. So we go back to verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We need to look at our cross of Jesus Christ in our time of need and see our grace, see our mercy, see that forgiveness of sins, so that we don't suffer needlessly. And now that we have that love and that forgiveness, we take that love and forgiveness and share it with those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.